Somebody alert Chicken Little, because the sky is most definitely falling. At least that's the opinion you'll get if you talk to the majority of Tennessee Titans fans following a 16-15 loss at New Orleans, in week one, a game that featured some predictably good defense, some surprisingly subpar play from quarterback Ryan Tannehill, a settling performance, I guess, from recently acquired kicker Nick Folk. If you're looking for bright spots, you know, he seems to have calmed the waters on that front. But a game certainly the Titans could have won had their chances to win. And there's an opportunity there late to second guess head coach Mike Vrabel's decision making, I guess, and a lot to sort of unpack there. We will get to it as much of it as we can in this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast, and also look ahead a little bit to this week's game against the Los Angeles Chargers. As usual, I'm David Beauclair, joined by former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, how are you?
I'm doing well this evening, David. How you doing?
I am doing great. And John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John, how are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
Let's start just sort of your overall just feeling about the Titans after one game, John. Do you feel like the Titans are a bad team and there's more of this to come? Do you feel like there's a good team in there that just didn't show enough of itself on Sunday? What's sort of your takeaway from the visit to New Orleans?
Yeah, I would say that there are some questions that the Titans had going into the game. You know, some of them certainly still linger, I think. You know, one of them, you know, we wondered if the Titans' pass defense was going to be better. They finished number 32 last year. We thought, okay, you know, what can they do? They've got a new DBs coach. You know, will things get better there? Well, we didn't see a great performance on that front. Offensive line was still another question, and I'd say that was kind of a mixed bag. You know, gave up a fair share of pressures. You know, was decent in the run game, so it could have been worse, I think, offensive line wise. But you know, I think certainly the biggest question that was raised that we didn't think would be much of a question was Ryan Tannehill. You know, and in his first game with a new offensive coordinator, new scheme, etc. Played, you know, what could only be described as one of the worst games of his career. You know, three picks, no TDs, and, you know, I think a 28.8 quarterback rating. So that was a stunner, you know, and that's one of the columns or the categories where you figured, okay, the Titans are at least pretty well set here. You know, Ryan Tannehill had a good camp. He's a veteran quarterback. That's one thing you don't really have to worry about. Well, if you have to worry about that going forward, you know, then you've got some really serious issues on your hands. So I'm sure we'll talk more about it here. But, you know, that's one thing that has to get cleared up very, very quickly.
Denard, you know what it's like to lose the opener. I'm sure it feels a little bigger to be 0-1 than maybe some other losses. But what do you assume the Titans players are talking about this week? What kinds of things are they looking at and saying, you know, if we just did this a little better, it would have been a different game?
Well, it's the first game of the season. Let's not forget 2 years ago, David, this is a team that got blown out by Arizona and Nashville, and they could have easily started the season 0-2. Then with Seattle, they took them down to overtime, and then they ended up welling with the latter part of the season with a 6-game winning streak. Yep. And so all of a sudden they had their best record, and sometimes they end up winning the AFC. Listen, this is the first game of the season. And what I saw Sunday, I'm very optimistic about this team. This is a good football team. If you're Mike Vrabel, you're sitting back saying, we're good. We are good. If you look at, take defense, for instance. This defensive line of Jeffrey Simmons, DeNico Autry, Arden Key, Tierra Tart, Harold Landry. This is the best defensive line in the business. They absolutely took it to the Saints offense. We
I think the New
Saints.
York Jets might argue with you, but
Oh,
certainly the
come on.
Titans are in
I
the
that's so quick.
conversation
You're
right
talking.
now.
Yes, there you go. Talking about one of those East Coast guys. But when you look, but when you look at this team, when you look at this defense, and I thought the secondary played well, other than the bomb at the end of the game on Christian Fulton, that was really the one big play that Derek Carr had the whole game. I mean, they had him neutralized. They had him running out of the pocket. And then offensively, they were in the red zone, David, several times. Again, there's a motto, David, that field goals keep you in the game. TDs is what wins you in the game. So now if you're Tennessee, you know that you when you get in the red zone, you have to do like you did last year, and you have to show, hey, we're one of the best red zone teams in the business. So again, that's stuff that you can clean up. And when you're a coach and you know that you can clean those little things up, again, it galvanizes you because you know that you're better than that in the way that you perform Sunday.
And to your point, this is not the first time the Titans have lost in week one under Mike Vrabel. And if Mike Vrabel's tenure, which is 5 years plus a game now, has shown us anything, it is that he and his staff have a knack for fixing things. This is the third year in a row they've lost in week one, fourth time in six tries overall. All you have to do is go back to last year. A 1 point loss to the Giants in week one, and then they get blown out by Buffalo in week two, and everybody's thinking, well, this team is terrible. This team is over. And they came back and won their next five after that, after starting 2021 at 1-1, which you talked about with the split with the Cardinals and the Seahawks. They won eight of their next nine after that. You go back to his first season. In 2018, they lost their opener. They won their next three games. So this is a staff that can identify the things that didn't maybe get to where they needed to be in training camp for whatever reason, and get them fixed and move on. And I think if you're looking for a reason to be optimistic, if we'll look on the sunny side of this for a little bit here to start, your quarterback played that poorly. And you only lost by a point. Ryan Tannehill doesn't have to play a whole lot better for this team to win games, and certainly the expectation is that he will play better. But let's look at Tannehill a little bit more now, because you see it on social media. There's already people debating whether or not the Titans should make a switch to Malik Willis or Will Levis and say that they've moved on. There's zero chance, I think we would all agree, of that happening. Mike Vrabel showed good patience and a good feel in 2019 for sort of when to make the change, when he went from Mariota to Tannehill. So John, as you looked at it, what was Tannehill's biggest issue on Sunday, or biggest couple issues? And how confident are you that this was just an outlier of a performance for him?
Yeah, it was really a head scratcher to me. I thought Tannehill had a good camp. I thought he looked like he was forming a good bond, a good connection with the DeAndre Hopkins. I thought highly of that situation there. But as you look at the various interceptions, the three interceptions, the first I thought was the worst to me, because he was just throwing into double coverage, deep into double coverage. And I guess he wanted to give DeAndre Hopkins a chance to bring it down, but you can't do that in double coverage. Second interception, I thought was borderline pass interference, so maybe we'll give him a little pass there. Third interception, I thought was a misunderstanding between he and Hopkins. Looked like Tannehill was expecting a back shoulder throw to Hopkins. Hopkins continued on a go route, and was picked off. But kind of the troubling thing was it was more than just those three passes where you were wondering what was going on with Ryan Tannehill, because he missed two pass plays that should have been touchdowns. Open receivers well downfield, Chig Okonkwo, Tajay Spears. And in addition to that, there were at least a couple of passes, kind of those sideline out routes, that were very nearly picked off. It could have been worse, in my opinion. So Were there contributing factors? Yeah, I mentioned some of them. And then also, I think you have to look at the fact, O-line, newly assembled O-line, they're playing in the Superdome first game. They gave up a lot of pressure early. Maybe that starts affecting Tannehill early there. Number two, it's the first game under Tim Kelly, new scheme, et cetera, maybe working out some kinks there. And then I thought too, and I wrote about this earlier too, I thought there were times where he tried too hard to get the ball to DeAndre Hopkins. And I understand you're trying to throw to DeAndre Hopkins, the guy's an all-pro receiver that you just signed. And he expects it. He's been a high-volume guy throughout his career. But too much, I thought. There were 13 targets, and at the expense of other guys too. Burks only gets three targets. Chig only gets two targets. And I just thought he was a little too dialed in on Hopkins. So those were some of the contributing factors, but all in all, it was just such a, yeah, it was a strange thing to see that he was so off, as I say, not only the picks, but some other plays as well.
Yeah, the overthrow of Okonkwo, it might have been the most egregious error of all because, the guy's running wide open and he didn't even give him a chance to catch the ball. It was a couple of yards over his head, and it was a it certainly was statistically an unusual performance. It's only the eighth time in Tannehill's career, only the second time with the Titans that he's ever thrown three interceptions in a game. The passer rating of 28.8, which you referenced earlier, John, is the worst of his career. There's only one other quarterback in the league this week who threw at least three interceptions and was sacked five times. Tannehill was one of them. The other was Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. And anyone who saw that game on Monday night knows how terrible Josh Allen played too. And for Tannehill to be in the same neighborhood as him can't be a good feeling. Denard, this is a guy who's in a contract year, probably wants to keep playing. If it's not with the Titans, it's somebody else. Could that be a factor, or does he just chalk it up to a bad day and say that's not going to happen again?
Well, Ryan is a pro, David, and let's not forget it's the first game of the season. And for a lot of the starters, this is their first game. I mean, this is their first actual game playing. And I don't believe in any excuses, but for me as a former player, what I saw Sunday is, and we talked about this going into the game, is that a quarterback can't do it alone. And when you're pretty much flushed out of the pocket about 80% of the game, let's look, give you got to give Joe Woods, the defensive coordinator for New Orleans Saints, some credit. He got his guys ready. That defense played excellent. If you look at Andre Dillard, Bronskill, Aaron Brewer, Peter Skoronski, Chris Hubbard, they were outplayed Sunday by that Saints front. Cam Jordan, Nathan Shepard, Kalen Saunders, and Carl Granderson, they outplayed that unit. That's what happened. And anytime you have a quarterback that can't sit in the pocket, he has to roll out, he can't go through his progressions, that's a win for the defense. And when you can't capitalize in the red zone, look at this. He was sacked three times. He had three interceptions. They were what, 10 of 12 on third downs. You won't win like that. And when you have several trips in the red zone and you only come away with what, 12 points, 12 of the 15, because one of those field goals were from 52, you're not going to win in this game. And that's what happened Sunday. Ryan can't do it alone. And yes, and I agree with you, David. I think he made some bad decisions, is trying to force a lot of those passes in there to D-Hop. Paulson Adebo, when he caught that pick on D-Hop on the sideline, that was great coverage. Give the Saints secondary, Marshon Lattimore, give those players some credit. They came out and absolutely took it to the Titans in all phases. And when you look at, when you look, we don't talk about special teams. Let's talk about the block punt that was in the red zone. That was huge because that block punt led to 3 points. So again, they had chances in the game. They just blew it. And so again, when you're Mike Vrabel, I can clean this up.
Yeah, and you, I do need to correct myself. You pointed it out there. Tannehill was only sacked three times. He and Allen were the only two who were sacked at least three times, through three interceptions. Allen was the one who was sacked five times, and so he had actually a much worse performance, I think, in some ways than Tannehill did. John referenced this. DeAndre Hopkins was targeted 13 times in that game. In the Titans era, that's from the start of the 1999 season to now, he is now only the 13th wide receiver who for this team who has been targeted at least that many times in a game. He's now done it as many times for the Titans as Kenny Britt did, as Nate Washington did, as Kendall Wright did. Derek Mason has the most such games of that with 10 of them when he was rolling and putting up huge numbers, obviously. Denard, as the guy who understands the passing game easily the best among the three of us, did it look like Tannehill was forcing the ball to him at times and going out of his way to try and get it there, or is that what he should have been doing most of the day?
No, he was forcing it. And you know what happens when a quarterback is trying to force the ball into a receiver? Typically, that's a new receiver. He's in a new system. He's a star. And what you're trying to do is get him implemented into the game plan early. The problem with that, John and David, is that half of the time he was not open. I talk about the pick by Paulson Adebo. Paulson Adebo, we talked about him a few years ago. I remember he was coming out of Stanford as being a potential player that I thought the Titans would target. He is an amazing cornerback, 6'1", 200 pounds. He had D-Hop blanketed. And I don't know how Ron could have thrown a back shoulder pass the way that he was playing that coverage. Joe Woods had his secondary ready. Now, what Ron tried to do in a lot of those passes, we were talking about with Chig, was wide open. He was forcing it. And that's something we haven't seen for Tannehill in a while. We know one of the things you love about Ryan Tannehill is very smart with the football. Yes, he will make some bad decisions, but it was like the whole game, he kept trying to force the ball in there. When you look at the end, kind of the fourth quarter, when they was kind of mounting that comeback, when the Saints went up and the Titans had that nice drop, you saw him really working Nick Westbrook on those out routes. He was putting the ball right on the money. He wasn't forcing anything. And that's what you got to do. He has to remember that, yes, I know we paid D-Hop a lot of money to make plays in this offense, but I got to sometimes find the open man. It might be Nick Westbrook Akine. It might be Chig. Don't just rely on D-Hop and forget the other players in your offense. And that sometimes happens when a veteran quarterback, he hooks up with a veteran receiver.
Yeah, and it's interesting, John. You referenced the third interception, and Jason McCourty on the television or the telecast, excuse me, did a good job breaking down what happened there and said that the play call probably was for a back shoulder throw, but Hopkins got half a step on the defensive back, and at that point, you're not throwing back shoulder. He's going to keep going, and he's expecting the ball to come over the top, and Tannehill threw the back shoulder for whatever reason anyway, and it became a turnover. So, seven catches, 65 yards, no touchdowns, obviously. John, was that a successful debut for DeAndre Hopkins, given that we didn't see him at all in the preseason? He didn't have a full offseason with the team, or was that disappointing, you think?
I think probably somewhere in between. It certainly wasn't great, though. That's just not efficient enough. Seven out of 13. That's a ton of targets, which is okay when you're getting 10 or 11 catches out of it. But seven and only for 65 yards and averaged about 9 yards per reception. It is not great. And some of the other numbers kind of point out, I think, that Hopkins needs to be better in terms of separation. The NFL's next gen stats, average separation, when balls were thrown to him was just 2 yards, which is a yard below the NFL average. You look at contested catches. He had four contested passes thrown his way, only came down with one of them. And the last number for me, 6 yards after the catch on seven catches for DeAndre Hopkins. Gives you a pretty good idea that he was pretty well covered, wasn't running free too many times out there. So, encouraging that he was there was certainly an effort put into throwing him a lot of passes. I think that's a good thing in general. But I think Ryan Tannehill hasn't come out and said as much, but I think the sense was Ryan Tannehill really felt that in training camp that he and DeAndre Hopkins were on the same page. They were making a lot of plays. There seemed to be a good connect there, and I just didn't see that connect in this game. You know, we mentioned that sideline interception. You know, we saw the reaction Ryan Tannehill had. You know, immediately he's putting his hands up to his helmet like that, and then the cameras kind of cut him over to the sideline. I'm sure you guys probably saw this too. And he had the iPad, and he's looking at the play, and he's throwing the iPad down after that. So clearly a lot of frustration, and maybe that's, again, this is one game they've had together, and you know, that they need to work some things out. I was encouraged today. Ryan Tannehill said that on Monday, got together with all the receivers, sat down with them, went over tape, said, look, this is what I'm expecting on this, and this is what I'm seeing, you know, just to try to get everything on the same page going forward. The slight downside today, neither Burks nor Hopkins practiced. Burks had a personal matter, and Hopkins is already dealing with an ankle injury that he apparently suffered at the end of the game on Sunday.
Yeah, that's the last thing the Titans need is for that guy to be slowed at all right now. But you know, it's at least it, you know, no one can say the Titans ignored him. This was certainly not a Randy Moss situation by any stretch of the imagination. In sort of one of the, I'll call it an amusing development. You know, everybody's always looking for, okay, what can the Titans do to help lighten Derrick Henry's load a little bit, and how do they not overuse him and what have you? And everybody was so excited about Tyjae Spears coming out of the preseason, and then you get into game one, and what happens? Tyjae Spears plays 34 snaps to Henry's 30, and Henry finishes with 63 yards on 15 carries. Plus, he had a couple of receptions, one of them a screen that he turned into a big gain. And everybody's screaming, why didn't they give the ball to Derrick Henry some more? You know, Mike Vrabel talked about it, said some first down penalties led to some personnel changes at times where Henry would have normally been on the field. They, you know, some other down and distance situations that were not favorable. Denard, I guess I'll just ask you plain and simple. Were you comfortable with the way the Titans used Derrick Henry, or should they have leaned? Were there opportunities to lean on him more in that game?
Let's just say it won't happen this week, David. I'm pretty sure Mrs. Strzok went up to the office and said, hey, I'm paying this young man a lot of money. He's referred to as the king. He's our best player. This better not happen. I better not see a rookie with more carries than Derrick Henry. That won't happen this week because you got to get back to your bread and butter, and that's the running game. I was shocked to see that Tajee Spears, and I thought at first maybe there was something wrong with Derrick. Maybe he had a little issue because you always think that when you see your star running back not getting that many carries as opposed to the rookie. But again, I like the 1-2 punch, but this week you got to get back to your DNA. Derrick Henry will have about 35 to 40 snaps this week. I promise you, he's going to touch that ball. I was a little shocked there. But David, I just wanted to say this, and I have to get this out because Nick Folk, it's amazing. I tell you what, that was an amazing performance. I know I don't want to get off topic, but what a gutsy play by the kicking game on both sides. I've seen a lot of games, but when both young kickers performed the way that they performed Sunday, David, that was absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, I thought it, you know, I thought it was a good day for Rand Carthen and his staff in a lot of ways when you think about it. When you look at some of the new guys who were a part of this team and the way they played, whether it was Nick Folk going 5 for 5 on field goals and driving the ball to the end zone on kickoff seemingly whenever he wanted to. You know, Pro Football Focus, the highest graded type member of the Titans offense was first round draft pick Peter Skoronski, your left guard. You know, Arden Key was a factor most of the day in the pass rush. Sean Murphy bunting forced a fumble. There was a lot of there was a lot of good from some of the newcomers on this team that that I would think gives Rand Carthen a little bit of confidence that says, hey, I do know what I'm looking for. I do know how to identify what we need and how to plug it into this team, because I mean obviously anybody could have looked at it and said they need a kicker, but to get a guy who can show up and 2 weeks later go 5 for 5 and including one in the fourth quarter when the head coach decides not to go for it on fourth down, make it a 1-point game, and which is basically saying, I'm going to give you, if all goes well, I'm going to give you an opportunity to kick number 6 and win this game. I mean, that's how Mike Vrabel felt about Nick Folk by the time he got into the fourth quarter of that game. So, I think it's a fair point you make there. John, Tyjae Spears, for all the playing time he did get, I don't think he had the impact that people or wanted or hoped. And to Denard's point, do you think that will factor in going forward too, where everybody sort of got a reminder that hey, this is Derrick Henry is our guy, or is this Tim Kelly's offense, and we can expect more of this for the next 17 weeks?
Yeah, I don't think it'll be this extreme in terms of the snap counts or Henry's carries as well. I'll laugh, David. I completely agree with you when you talk about a large segment of the fan base that was, we cannot keep giving the ball to Derrick Henry 25 or 30 times a game. It's time to change. And then they have a game like this, and then the first thing here, of course, is what's going on? Why aren't we giving the ball to Derrick Henry 25 times? But I think, one thing, I do believe that they really like Tyjae Spears a lot. There's a guy that does have an awful lot of potential, really good speed, can catch passes, showed some breakaway ability in the preseason as well. So I don't think he's going away anytime soon. I really think they're going to give him a lot of options, but I don't think you can go quite as extreme as this game. You look at Derrick Henry's performance, 10 carries, 51 yards at the half. Everything's going presumably pretty well. First two carries go for a total of 10 yards in the second half. And then all of a sudden, it's an absence. The next three series, I think he maybe touched the ball maybe once in the next three series. One of those series was a pass, punt. Again, this wasn't a kind of a game where the Titans were trying to make up 2-touchdown deficit or anything like that. This was a nip and tuck close game the whole time. And Henry never really had a long stretch of, we've seen sometimes where Henry will go 6 carries and just get nothing. And those are the times you're wondering, okay, why aren't you maybe changing things up a little bit? There was never that situation in this game. He was effective, for the majority of his carries. So I think a little bit more Derrick Henry is in order, but I don't think it's going to go back to last year. I do think that this is a difference that we'll see in Tim Kelly's offense. I think there'll be more Tyjae Spears. I think there'll be more passing. But when you look at a close game and the Titans threw 40 passes and ran 19 times, I don't think we're going to see that again anytime soon.
Yeah, and I mean, unless they're winning and they get into the 4-minute mode with 8 minutes to play in the game, that sort of thing, which seems unlikely this Sunday as we spin this thing forward. Now you've got the Chargers coming to town for the home opener. Denard, if you're playing cornerback on this team and you're looking at Justin Herbert throwing to Keenan Allen on one side, to Mike Williams on another side, to the rookie Quentin Johnston now working in there, big tight end Gerald Everett, you've got Austin Eckler, who is one of the best receiving backs in the league coming out of there. How much of a problem does this team pose, particularly for a defense that gave up 300-plus passing yards this past Sunday?
Well, because we know what the Chargers are capable of. We saw that game last year. Tennessee played them well. They did a great job at containing Justin Herbert. They did a great job at shutting down players like Keenan Allen. We thought last year this was going to be a debauchery, but it didn't end up like that. Tennessee had a chance to win that game. So if you're Tennessee, you do what you did last year. And when David, the way that you approach this season is that you have to understand what's your DNA, and you're not worried about what everybody, another team is doing. And that's what Tennessee has to, they got to play that way Sunday. This is a good football team, David. This is a team that, as poorly as they played offensively, they still had a chance to win this game. Let's not forget about this New Orleans team. Now, this is a good football team. They didn't have their first touchdown until what, a minute 25 in the third quarter? You understand how hard that is, and you got a $100 million quarterback in Derek Carr. So again, if you're that defense, if you're big man Jeffrey Simmons, if you're DeNico Autry, says, no. This is the way we play. We dictate the course of the game. That's how you win in this league. You don't adjust to other people. You make the teams adjust to you.
But John, we referenced the Denar or the DeAndre Hopkins injury earlier. Christian Fulton dealing with a hamstring injury to start this week, which is nothing new to him. Amani Hooker, who played well Sunday, is in the concussion protocol. There's no telling what's going to happen with him. What are the chances that this secondary is going to be at full strength for to go against this passing game? And I guess that begs the question then, how much more important does the pass rush become?
Yeah, I kind of have my doubts, especially when it comes to Amani Hooker and the concussion protocol. It seems like more often than not in recent years, players in concussion protocol have generally missed at least one game. It seems like we've seen less of, okay, he had a concussion, he gets better during the week, he's back out there. So I don't know. I kind of have my doubts as to whether we see him. Christian Fulton did practice, but was limited today. Didn't do much in the portion that was open to media. That's touch and go, and it's got to be a crushing blow for Christian Fulton, who focused so much of his off season, training down in Florida on exactly that, trying to rid himself of these soft tissue, of these hamstring injuries, and all of a sudden it pops up again in week one. So I think this could be a week that depth gets tested right away. And we're talking about maybe, an Elijah Molden at safety, and certainly some of the other cornerbacks, like a Trey Avery and Kendall Vildor. I think I have his name right, at cornerback as well. I think they're going to be tested. It was interesting, the Chargers, in that game against Miami, they didn't throw the ball all over the park. Justin Herbert threw for like 230 yards, but they ran the ball a ton. They had 234 rushing yards. Austin Eckler went 117. Joshua Kelly had 91 yards on the ground. Kind of a change of pace from the Chargers. I'm sure the Titans would love for the Chargers to once again emphasize the run against the Titans, because of course that is the Titans' strength. I doubt that'll happen though. I suspect we'll see the Chargers go back to what's been their bread and butter over the last few years. And that's Justin Herbert throwing an awful lot of passes against a passing D that that needs to step up after last week's performance.
Yeah, and I mean, just plain and simple, I'm hard pressed to imagine anybody running for 200 plus yards against this defensive front. Jeffrey Simmons makes that, I would think, almost impossible. And when you saw what the success that the Saints had, even though they didn't get to the end zone, Derek Carr completed just shy of 70% of his passes. I'm guessing that they're going to go into this thinking throwing the ball is our best bet. That means Ryan Tannehill's going to have to play significantly better. I mean, as we wrap this thing up, this is the question. Are the Titans going to win this game, or are they going to fall to 0-2 for the second straight year? I'll start it, and after my muted optimism last week, I'm less so this week, and I'm gonna say the Titans can't keep pace. And although I'll say I will add this caveat: I do not trust Brandon Staley as a head coach in the NFL. When it comes to if this thing comes down to any sort of coaching decisions, Mike Vrabel has a gigantic advantage over Brandon Staley. If it's a matter of just the players going out and playing, and which, both of them play to their potential. I don't see how the Titans can match up. So I'm gonna call the Chargers 27-20 in this one. Denard, what do you think happens Sunday?
I think the Titans win, and this is the reason why, John, because last year this secondary was decimated by injuries. They had Trey Avery. They had a rookie cornerback, Roger McCurry. Remember Josh Kalu, the great play by Roger McCurry, alley-ooping it back to Kalu. And last year, so they was depleted in the secondary, and they held this Chargers team, let me see, with 7 points in the first half, 10 points in the second half. Mike Vrabel plays well. Again, his defense will be ready. The Titans will win this game Sunday. They will win it defensively like they almost won last year, David.
Said with conviction.
Yes.
John Glennon, you get the final word on this one. What happened Sunday?
Yeah, I think it'll be close. I don't see it one-sided, but I'm kind of lean towards what you were thinking, David. I think it's going to be tough for this Titans offense to score enough points to keep up with the Chargers offense that really can light it up. So I will probably go along the same lines. I'll go maybe a 24-17 final for the Chargers, and until proven otherwise. Think, two things that have to be proven are that the Titans can score and that they can beast up a good passing attack. And we haven't seen a whole lot of that in the last, in the last year or so.
Yeah, they're going to have to keep everything in front of them. They cannot give up the big plays in this game because Chargers have guys who can make the big plays. So, but we will see how it all plays out. And afterward, this same time next week, we will be back with to discuss what happened and look ahead to week three. So until then, this is the Believe in Titans podcast. As always, we thank you for listening. We thank you, John Glennon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Denard Walker.
Thank you.
And thank you, everybody, for listening. Until next week, we'll talk to you then.